Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, November 19th, 2024. And if you didn't know or didn't realize, Thanksgiving is next week. I just couldn't even believe that. It's like, oh my gosh, next Thursday is Thanksgiving. We're just in it. I mean, we might as well just get a bottle of champagne because it's going to be New Year's Eve sooner than we think. But anyway, as time moves past, faster and faster, today I'm very happy to be with you and very excited that C.A. Brooks is with me for our November 2024 Meeting of the Minds. We always have a great discussion and you are invited to be a part of it. So please join us in the chat room if you can. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. Please feel free to comment or ask questions in the chat. We may or may not have time for readings. We'll just see how the conversation goes. If, though, you would like a reading, you can find both of us on 12listen.com. I'm available every day, usually mid to later morning, Pacific into the evening. If you don't see me or if I happen to be busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately and we'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And I just want to say thank you again for being here today and thank you for listening, however and whenever you do. There is programming 24/7 on 12radio.com, and you can find archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio. It's a great source of inspiration, information, support, and just different voices, different people sharing their passion. So, you know, take advantage. It's one of the ways that we are able to support you or offer support to you, and you can just pull something out of the archives anytime, day or night. So I encourage you to do that. And right now, because CA is my guest, I am trying not to speed talk, but I just want to say thanks to Jay for producing the show today and for everything that he does for us on 12radio, which is a lot. So as you know, I am always glad to have C.A. Brooks on the show with me. C.A. is a 12listen advisor, a clairvoyant astrologer, an animal communicator. She's an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among many other things. She writes the Week Ahead section of the Power Peak, Mark Husson's weekly newsletter. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 12radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment Live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. And she has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show, available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. She's very, very busy, and I appreciate her joining me for this show once a month. I really do appreciate it, and I really look forward to it. I mean that sincerely. I know I say that every month, but it's the truth. I look forward to our discussions because we could probably talk for 3 days if we were just let loose to do that. But I really like this show, our Meeting of the Minds, because it's where we can just bring everything and anything to the table. Spirituality, astrology, tarot, feng shui, anything else are welcome. And that's why it's just so much fun. We start a conversation and it just goes. And that's just, it's a treat. It really is a treat. And I will have CA join me in just a couple of minutes after I set up the starting point of our conversation. Well, I've been in this mode, but for a while now, but especially lately, of just kind of taking care of small things, just taking care of things, like checking things off the list, things that didn't even, like over the past couple of years, didn't even rate the back burner on the stove, honestly. And one of the things that just kind of, it just makes me smile, is I had a bunch of coins that I got from my mom's when we cleared out her house, and I had a baggie of coins that were Channon's. And Channon would empty his pockets of coins. Sorry if that was a noise. Would empty his pockets of coins and throw them in a sock drawer. So, I mean, when I cleaned out his clothes and saw how many coins were in there, I put them in a baggie and just put the baggie in another drawer in the dresser. And finally, I just thought, because I've been doing the other thing that I did that I'm going to talk more about is I've been doing my fall cleaning, and I went room by room, and even the I don't know, I've done it in the past. I make a big list. This is what I have to do in each room. Well, I didn't do that. I just kind So I started in the bedroom, which the bedroom is the most important room in the house because it's where we go. It's our sanctuary. It's where we go to rest and rejuvenate. So I started there and just really went through things, you know. But the thing that was so interesting is that I just caught this wave of inspiration and motivation. And I started there. And then about a week later, which would have been last week, I just kind of went on to the other rooms in the house. But I got the coins together from my mom's, Shannon's coins, my mom's coins. I looked through them. I found a few wheat head pennies, which I kept, and a few older coins. But the majority of them I put in a baggie. And then I was cleaning my office, and I have a big bookshelves that go across one wall. And there were a couple of, like, there's a piggy bank, in an old piggy bank that was just, I picked it up and it's full. And I thought, there's money in here. It was full of pennies. So I added it to the bag. And then another couple places where coins would just get thrown in, vases and things like that. So all together, I went to the bank yesterday. I took those coins to the bank and I came home with $32.37. Which I put in, you know, a bank, 37 cents. But the $32 I can use. I could actually pay somebody $32, not, you know, not in coins, in bills. So that was just one of those things, a silly small thing. But it's like, yeah, it's progress, right? It's progress. So anyway, the fall cleaning that I did, I love to clean. I really, really love to clean. And when it's done, because it's when I do fall cleaning or spring cleaning, I go through and I wash all the glass on the art, and I have a lot of knickknacks. I love things like that. And things that I have that have been given to me that I just love. I mean, I love every bit of it or it wouldn't be here. And just to clean them, to really clean them and to touch them. And, you know, what you love loves you back. And there's a big experience of that when you're doing your fall cleaning, and especially, or cleaning of any kind, any time of the year, and enjoying it, you know, really touching it, really being in what you're doing. But not only is everything kind of bright and shiny and the furniture is polished, but the atmosphere is clearer because of the action and the energy that gets moved as you do something like that. And it was interesting because I kept looking at it and I was just not motivated to do it until last week. And part of that was because leaves are falling, leaves are still falling, and there's so much stuff that gets tracked in. But honestly, it, when I say the atmosphere got clearer, it's like, I don't know, there's like, when the sun is shining in the fall, it's different. It comes in the windows differently. And it was lighting up like in the corners and stuff, little cobwebs, things like little dust webs behind furniture, which no one would ever see and I hardly saw. But it's like, finally, I just needed to get it done. And until last week, I honestly didn't feel like doing it. But I do believe that there's a right time for everything. And inspiration struck, and now it's done. And it just went so quickly and easily and thoroughly, really. And I was just in a really lovely flow of doing what needed to be done room by room. And as I was doing my fall cleaning, I was listening to Ernest Holmes' Creative Mind and Success, which I've shared stuff from it for the past few months. And that is just a little gold mine. That book is just a gold mine. And it's small. I mean, there's really not much to it. You can read it in one sitting, probably. But what really caught my attention as I'm in this great flow of cleaning and loving it, was the chapter on action. And he talked about, because it's Creative Mind and Success, he was talking to, you know, businessmen, store owners in this particular chapter. The book is for anybody. It's for anybody. And success in any, you know, individual life or business-wise or whatever. But he was talking about going to stores that have just a dense kind of atmosphere because nothing ever changes. Everything is always on the same shelves, etc. And you can't wait to get out of there and go someplace livelier where you're inspired to buy something. Well, he wrote, "Activity is genius. The man who is active in his thought doesn't have to sit by himself to think. He works while he thinks, and so complies with the law of action, which has to work through him. The thought of activity makes him move, and the thought of confidence makes his movements sure, and the thought of supreme guidance makes his work intelligent. We must be careful and not get into ruts. Always be doing something new and different, and you'll find life becomes a great game in which you are taking the leading part. If you can't find anything new to do, go home and change the bed around or the piano. Put the cook stove in the parlor. Eat on the back step for a while. It will start something moving and changing in you that will never stop." And he wrote the book in 1919, by the way, The Cook Stove on the Piano and Move, or The Cook Stove in the Parlor. And then he finished, just to finish it, he said, "Everything comes from mind, but mind acts on itself, and we must act on ourselves and on conditions, not as a slave, but as a master. Be interested in life, and life will act through you." And I just thought that was wonderful. And what perfect timing. It's like, yeah, I'm actually doing that really at this very moment when I was listening to it. But I also think that part of my inspiration to clean came from the fact that I'm having dinner for our friends, the Valentines, on Saturday night. So I'm really excited about it. And I love to entertain, but it's been a really long time since I've done it. But I'm pretty sure I remember how to cook. It's been a while. I live on arugula salad, basically. So I don't really cook for myself. And I work until I'm done working at night. And who wants to cook at 8 o'clock at night? But I'm looking forward to it, no matter how it turns out. And they're just great friends. So if I need help with something, they're both really good cooks, and they'll just jump in and do whatever needs to be done. But the thing I love best about spending time with them is the overriding vibration is just silliness. It's silliness and fun, and we're just really experts at it. So all in all, cleaning, doing my cleaning, listening to Creative Mind and Success, planning a menu, and looking forward to having friends over and feeding them, was just a lot of joyful action. And it was lovely. And action really does, just doing something, anything shakes up energy. And that is a good thing. And I think when we jump in, when we just decide to start doing something, just start it, then it just takes over. That energy just takes over. And it really is joyful. Neville, and just to end with a quote from Neville really quick, Neville said, "Signs follow, they never precede." So again, we start and God takes over. And more and more and more joyful things, interesting things show up because you've made a way for them to show up. You have allowed energy to move and you're available. Anyway, on that note, welcome, CA. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, thanks, Kelly. It's great to be back. And thanks for
Good.
your flexibility in terms of scheduling meeting of the minds. And yeah,
Absolutely.
it's wonderful to be here with you.
Good. Me too. I feel the same way with you. And you had
Yeah.
a good break.
I did. In some ways it was kind of short, even though I actually took two small trips, is
Oh.
what I ended up doing. One was just totally spontaneous. Literally, somebody called me up and said, "Let's jump in the car and go do blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Really?" And she goes, "We did it. We took our dogs, and she took her husband, and we had a wonderful time." But in any case,
Good.
and I don't do that very often where I go, "Okay, I'm going to get in the car tomorrow and take a little trip." But I did.
Cool.
But yeah, I had a good break, and that's what you need sometimes. You just need a change of scenery,
Yep.
and just You know, because there again, sometimes I don't know if it's losing our spontaneity or what, but, you know, I'm a real routine person, you know, that, and in fact, for many of us, that's what makes us feel safe and secure going through our routines, you know? And so I try not to get so locked in that, okay, if I don't have my coffee at 7:45, the day's not going to go well or something like that. But, you know, being a, like I said, to have somebody call up and say, hey, we're jumping in the car tomorrow, we're going to do this. And to go, oh, really? Would I even consider? Because of course, my first thought is no, no.
Oh, yeah.
Too busy, got too much going on. But anyway, I did it, and I call Mark, and he goes, yeah, I'll do your radio show. So everything worked out well. And you know, so you know, it goes into what you were talking about, just taking action and moving things around. You know, it gives you a different perspective, because if you're like me, sometimes I will be looking for something and I just can't see it. And I recognize when I finally do find it, it's because it just blended into the woodwork, you know?
Yes.
And that's it. It's like, oh, it's just always there. So I don't even see it anymore. I just don't even see it. And so changing those things around, and whether or not it's just, like you said, dusting it, you know, holding it, touching it, and remembering it, because that's the other thing. Sometimes you just forget something. Like I have one area in my office that's basically just a shelf, but I kind of put treasured things on it. You know, I have a beautiful, beautiful Buddha, and then I'll put just little mementos. In fact, I just put a memento up there this morning.
Oh, cool.
But sometimes, you know, there's just so many little things that represent memories. They represent a person. They represent an event and or something that I want to remember. But how do I remember if I never go there and individually look at those things? Because it just becomes a collective, you know? So right. I think that's such an important concept. And along those lines, too, I was thinking this yesterday, you know, you get back from a trip and it's like, oh, my God, I've got to unpack all this. And here's all the mail that the house sitter brought in. And, you know, thankfully, the house was cleaner than when I left. She did a great job. But, you know, there's boxes. And I tend to shop online, and a lot of things come as auto delivery, you know, those typical things.
Oh, right.
Like paper towels or dishwashing liquid and things that you're always going to need. And you know, it's like our lives have really changed, I think, since COVID, because now it's like, okay, they're on auto delivery. I don't even have to think of them anymore.
I know.
You know, they're just coming to the door. But unfortunately, one of my delivery dates, it happened while I was gone. So there's all these boxes. And I haven't even opened them up.
But it's like, well, okay, you just got back.
Yeah, those are the paper towels. Those are the blah, blah, blah. You know, and maybe a few things for the dog, whatever, the dog treats, etc. But anyway, I'm just kind of looking at this living room going, you know, it was all clean until I walked in the door with suitcases and whatever. But I also said to myself, I tend to get overwhelmed and then I don't want to do anything. So I said, you know what, just do a couple things. Unpack the clothes and do the laundry, because, you know, when you come back, you know, the clothes, just everything, even if they're clean when you pack them in there, they got to be washed again, you know?
Yeah, they've been packed.
Well, they have been packed. And I, as a lot of people know, I love Hawaii, so that's where I went. But even if you wash everything before you leave, the humidity of Hawaii, things you, and then, you know, I mean, I've thought before, oh, you can just put these away. No, you can't. You really have to wash them, because they're kind of full of humidity, and they're just, then when you want to take them out again, they're never the same. So anyway, you know, so I said, just do two loads of laundry. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do everything. You don't have to put every single thing away and open every single box before you can put your head on the pillow again, you know? And so it's a big part of it too, is just kind of learning that. Because I think in the past, I was always, you have to do every single thing. And literally, do not go to bed until the vacuuming is done, the dishes are done, this is done, this is done, this is done. And I try to, there again, maintain certain things, because who doesn't want to wake up to a clean kitchen, right?
Right.
On the other hand, you know, who made the rules?
You know, exactly.
That said, yes, everything has to be unpacked. All the laundry has to be done and put away, and this and this and this. And I just said, you know what? Don't, because then, like I said, I kind of get overwhelmed and I go, okay, I'm just going to sit here for a minute. I'm just gonna take a short nap, you know. And so I just, you know what, just do a couple of things. There's always tomorrow. You know, you're gonna get to all of this. Do not let them dictate. You know, don't drive yourself crazy, which kind of goes along with my feeling that the word of the week really is healing, but healing in a sense of restoring, you know, feeding yourself good food, restoring, and, you know, just bringing things back to where they need to be. And part of that is just knowing what really nurtures your soul, what nurtures your body, what nurtures your mind, and just not driving yourself too crazy. So just, I'm trying to follow my own advice and just, like, you know, hang out and kind of let that happen and not get too nuts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there was something else you said, and I thought, oh, if only we could get Tucker, my puppy, to agree to that. And I'm trying to think what it was that you said. And I'm like, yeah, because he doesn't do it that way. And I'm like, I wonder if he's listening, you know? It'll probably come to me, but yeah, something you said. And I thought, oh, yeah, oh. Tucker could use that advice. Maybe they're, I can get him to listen to that.
He'd be like, no, I'm not bothered.
yep, this way I do it, and I'm going for it. You know, got to chase the rabbits, got my routine. Yeah, he was out there this morning in the yard, and he just, you know, he goes under every single shrub and bush and flower or mm-hmm. whatever. And sure enough, he got the rabbit. And then he chases it around the yard and
yeah,
gets his exercise. And, you know, oh, I know what it was when you were just talking about doing things differently. Mm-hmm. He definitely has those routines like that. But the other thing he does that I've been noticing, and I've had dogs do this before, but he really does it. And that is, I most of the time let him go wherever he wants to go on his walk, you know. Mm-hmm. I have a certain amount of time, or there's someplace I want to go, then I, you know, pull him in that direction. But a lot of times I just go, you know, let him follow his nose wherever he goes. Mm-hmm. But he definitely has favorite paths. But what's interesting to me is that he will always cross the street in the same place. And, like, for instance, we start out and I go, okay, wherever you want to go. He always crosses diagonally, like, from, you know, instead
corner
of just
corner.
Yeah, corner to corner. And I'm like, okay. Then he goes to the, you know, we walk a ways and he goes to this one area where there's natural grass, because there's not a lot in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And so he goes up and down this block. But then when we come out from that area, he always wants to cross the street. And I'm like, and it's always at the same house. Now, I'm assuming maybe that house has a dog. There's got to be some smell that he wants, but he yeah. always crosses the street at the same place. And like yesterday, I just watched him and I thought, this is a definite pattern. It's like, he doesn't want to wait. He doesn't want to cross before. He wants to cross right here, even though that's not where I want to cross, you know? And I'm uh-huh. like, can't just go a little bit, you know. No, he wants to cross right there. So I just thought, how interesting that he's really set in this particular pattern mm-hmm. on, especially on that particular walk. But he does it on another one too, where we're walking up the block, and in the middle of the block he always wants to cross the street. You know, and so I feel like he's following his nose. I think it's a scent thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he smells the dog, maybe, you know, up a ways or something. And so, but it's always identical. And I just, in some ways, I think that's kind of funny, you know?
Oh, I can tell you, Bichons are exactly like that. Oh, exactly. Exactly. Well, and it's so funny because, you know, I was, I think the last time you were on the show, I was telling you about, you know, that Claire's tail, you know, and she had the cone on her head and all of that. And while she had the cone on her head, she couldn't walk. Like, she couldn't, you know, walk to another room, you know, to have food. I had to bring her food to her. If I took the cone off, it was a different story. She could walk, she could do whatever. And it was really kind of funny. But after the cone is off, we're done with this, you know, the 10 days are over, she's had her antibiotics, she's good. Now I still have to coax her to come and eat. So she makes her own rules and she gets into these habits. And it's hilarious, CA. It's hilarious. I think it's something to do with their cousins, you know, those breeds, Havanese and Bichons are cousins. But it's just so funny. She'll just make up some new rule and this is how it is. And I'll go, you know what? You've got four legs and you can walk into the kitchen where your food dishes have always been and you can eat there. And finally, I just say, or not. And then I walk away. And it's kind of like when I use reverse psychology on her, she'll, you know, it's like, are you coming into my reading room? Okay, no, I shut the door. There she is at their door. You know, I mean, it's just, they're funny. They're just really, really funny.
Well, and, you know, I've always had dogs, and the last two I had before was a Border Collie and a Husky. And we walked with those two. I walked pretty far and long. I mean, you know, they got big strides and boy, you know, they were really into it. And they certainly had their preferences, but not like this. I mean, not to the point where they would all, I mean, they would certainly pull to try to go to the creek because that's where they wanted to go. Sure. But there were multiple ways to access the creek. And they, I just do not remember them being so stuck in, okay, we cross the street at this house and we do this and then we go up here and we move this direction. And they just were not, in fact, they were very much following their nose in terms of what had gone on the sidewalk before them. They're following another dog or they're following, you know, maybe even a coyote has walked across there or whatever.
Right.
Very much I felt like our walks every single day were different. You know, even though we were pretty much going over, although in a sense, in that particular neighborhood and house, I could go to the left or the right when I first started. Whereas where I live now, I'm in a cul-de-sac. So yeah, I pretty much have to get out of the cul-de-sac, you know.
Right, right.
But truly, I thought with those two dogs, we always had a different walk every single day. Whereas with Tucker, boy, he's, you know, he's got his his place where he wants to. And so most of the time, unless I really want to pull him, because he's also very, very strong and he's very bullheaded or very, you know, strong-minded. Yes. And so I just let him do it. But I'm just like, you know, do you not want to go anywhere else? And unfortunately, the one other place he wants to go, he always wants to do it towards the end of the walk. And I know personally, there is, once we go down that street, it's going to be another 20, 30 minutes to get back out of there unless we just go down one block and turn around. And so I'm like, no, we're not going there. Some other day we will go there when I feel like we have lots of time. But he never, what's interesting is we pass it, but he never wants to go when we're at the beginning of the walk. He wants to do it at the end of the walk. So, and maybe it's because he knows I don't want to go home yet.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But in any case, you know, putting it back to us, we probably kind of do the same thing. Okay. You know, I have my way of doing things and, you know, it makes me feel safer, more comfortable if I don't have to be spontaneous. But not being spontaneous also makes it that we're just kind of blinded to what's in our universe. We're not really open to, like, I was intrigued by that quote you said, something about the signs come after, not before. You know, and that's it. If we're not open to something, then we're not going to see it either.
Right, right. Well, unless you do something, well, and that's, you know, signs following, and I can't remember the, it's a scripture, you know, you go out, you do this, you heal the sick, you know, and the signs follow. And I should have, I didn't look that up, but that's what the reference is. But it's also, you know, action precedes demonstration. If you want something, you got to do something. You know, you're it. You're it. And it's that's our responsibility. You can sit and wait for something to happen, and it's not unless you put something into it to you know, get the wheels going, you know? I mean, that's it.
Yeah. Well, and in terms of listening, I've been noticing recently that I'm so, the minute somebody opens with something, I think I know the end. Oh. And really trying to wait, because I'm already, I mean, we all do that to some extent, but I am definitely jumping to the conclusion before the person says everything they're going to say. And, you know, and so that's kind of the same thing is I'm not open. I'm not being spontaneous. I'm not being impressionable. I'm just taking the first clue and then saying, okay, this is how this ends up. This is how this works out. Mm-hmm. And in fact, really kind of trying to pay attention to that and being more spontaneous. I was with my sister last night and she had called me up and said, hey, you know, you feel like Chipotle? And I said, oh my God, yes, because I haven't eaten. And most of the time if she calls me, you know, she'll go, I know you've already eaten because I tend to eat a late lunch. And I said, well, actually I haven't because I've just been busy and doing all this stuff and unpacking and I had, it's kind of like what you said earlier. I have no care about what I'm going to have for dinner. I'm not making anything. I don't know what dinner is, you know? And so she said, oh, well, good. I'm going to go to Chipotle. Let's go. So she comes and picks me up and we're driving. And I mean, I know where the Chipotle is, but that's not where she's headed. But I just decide for once, I'm not going to go, where are we going? I thought, I'm just going to go with this, you know, not going to stir anything up. So all of a sudden she says to me, am I going the right way? And so I just said, I don't think so. And so she just laughed and she goes, I totally missed that turn. Why didn't you say anything? And I said, well, there's more than one way to get to Chipotle. And I thought maybe you were going another way. You know, but she's like, what are you thinking? Why did you tell me? We're just going along and I'm totally, you know, off track. But it was kind of funny because I thought the one time I'm just going to go, you know what? I'm just keeping my mouth shut.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, that's just really funny, isn't it?
It is. But on the other hand, that's it. Most of the time I'm anticipating, well, weren't you going to turn there? Weren't you going to do this? How come this isn't this way? And I just thought, you know what? Just let it go. You know, just, you know, can you be in the moment and spontaneous? Because, you know, at least for me, and maybe some people are more so than I am, but, you know, that's everything you're talking about is just being like right there in the moment and allowing yourself to be spontaneous and to feel whatever that energy is and to not go on autopilot. And that's what I'm talking about, really, is being on autopilot. Mm-hmm. And so then you just don't even see anything because you're on autopilot. And even moving some small things around in your home, very feng shui.
Yes,
changes the energy, you know, changes the energy. And there again, actually, I should be very thankful to Tucker because talking about moving small things around, he's got this box of toys, you know, and he is forever just pulling those out and just everywhere, all over the house. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking along, especially like if, you know, if it's evening and I haven't turned a light on in a room, I'll go walking and step on a toy. Now, if I'm lucky, it's a stuffed toy and it squeaks.
Uh-huh.
But it's always like, what was that? You know?
Was that my dog?
Well, exactly. But you know what? It's just funny because then I look, I mean, there's like, and I'm talking 10 to 15 toys everywhere.
Wow.
You know, all over. And wow. If only I could teach him to put them back. But I almost have to be a little spontaneous and in the moment because he's always sticking his toys everywhere. They'll be in the bathroom. They'll be in the bedroom. They'll be in the closet. Oh, and I'm just walking along, not paying attention. And there's some big or, you know, small toy that I've stepped on because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a very timely topic.
Well, you know? I think it is. And I think it's something that we don't, you know, when we do, because I'm very much routine, you know, I really am. And it just, okay. You know? But sometimes it's like, well, I need to write this. I need to get this written. And then, and you're struggling with it because it's just not moving, you know, it's not flowing if you're trying to write something. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just get up and it's like, I need to clean the bathroom, you know, or just do something like that. You know, it needs to be done. I'm going to go do that. And then all of a sudden I'm in a different space. You know, I feel better and I'm not pushing. I'm just going along with something that moves energy, that is productive. And then, you know, okay, so right now is not the time to work on this, to write. It's just not the time, because it's not coming. And I can sit here and struggle with it, which makes it even more unproductive, or I can go do something. And that's, it's just amazing to me how that works. It happens all the time. Or I'll go.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Yeah. And it's like that, it's in Zen, and I'm sure it's feng shui as well, is if you walk into a room and you see something that needs to be done, do it.
Exactly. Yes.
And that's an amazing energy mover. Possible.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I say that because oftentimes it's something that's on my list, but I go, it's not on my list yet. But I go, why wait? Do it right this second. You can do it in 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be there again. It doesn't have to be in the order that you put it on the list.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Do it. And I find when I do things like that, then the next thing that needs to be done just shows up. Mm-hmm. And you just get in a groove, and it just feels so good. And by the end of the day, you're not even tired, and you've accomplished a whole lot of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. It's a cool thing. It's a really cool thing.
Yeah, just that balance between routine and spontaneity.
Yeah.
And just listening, you know, just listening to what's going on for you in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was funny, and this is, spontaneity is what got me thinking about this. I had dinner with a friend of mine, and we went to a place that I just knew was going to be packed at 6 o'clock Saturday night. And this was kind of when we've gone out to dinner a few times. And if I suggest the place, I'll call and make a reservation. Well, this place, I don't know that they actually make reservations. It was Pino's. Remember Pino's?
Uh-huh.
Over on Hamden, off of Old Hamden and just right off when you're going down Hamden and turn off on Old Hamden, there's that Caribou Coffee.
Yes.
It's in that shop at.
Oh,
it's like
okay.
Right next to Caribou Coffee.
Okay.
Anyway, it's very, very
I remember
good.
That. Yeah.
It's very, very good Italian food. Very good. So anyway, I don't know. Maybe they don't make reservations. I hadn't been there in a long time. But anyway, I walk in there. Number one, it was hard to get a parking place. I just somehow found one in the parking lot. And I'm not really all that familiar with that area, but there is a medical building across the next street.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, it was full. So I'm figuring at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, it's not medical people. And I could have gone over there, but I didn't know. Anyway, I found a parking place and we're texting and I said, are you in there? I walked in, I kind of looked around, I left my name. It was going to be a 50-minute wait for dinner. And so I'm thinking, you know, I wasn't sure she was there yet. And I thought when she gets there, I'm going to suggest we walk down the block to Undici, which is my other, which is really my favorite Italian restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, she texted me back. She goes, yeah, I'm sitting at the bar just as you walk in. Well, I didn't even see her when I walked in. I just saw a massive group of people. And she was there and she had the last seat at the bar. And I said, hey, I said, you know, it's going to be a 50-minute wait. And she goes, but these two ladies sitting right here are getting ready to leave. They just came for, you know, to have a cocktail and they're going to leave so we can sit at the bar. And I went, okay. And all these like, I don't know what, fuddy-duddy part of me shows up, like, sit at the bar and eat dinner at a bar. And she goes, I'd love to sit at the bar. And I said, she goes, don't you? And I said, not really. And she goes, well, why not? And I said, well, because you have to, like, you're sitting next to the person you're having dinner with. You know, I like to kind of sit across
from
so you can have a conversation. And she goes, oh, no, I like being just in the energy of what's going on at the bar. And so I went, okay. She goes, we could wait for a table. I said, no, this is fine. So, I mean, it was just really, I really kept running into myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, oh, the parking lot's full. Oh, you know, oh, the place is just packed. 50-minute wait. I just, all those things were these big roadblocks. And it turned out we sat at the bar. And the other thing about sitting at the bar for me is I'm short.
Yeah.
So I always feel like I need a booster chair.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Or something under your feet because the floor is too far.
Yeah.
Or the chairs, yeah. You're sitting up on these chairs and somehow I'm short too, and they just don't seem to fit too well.
No, it's like the top of the bar is it, you know, like right in the middle of my chest.
Right.
So, but anyway, it was just, it ended up being nice. You know, it really did. But it was so funny to just observe all the, wait a minute, you know, coming out of my own head. It was interesting to see that.
Yes. So it ended up being okay?
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine. The food is excellent. Just excellent.
Oh, that's nice. That's good to know.
It was really, really good and a nice glass of wine and we talked and it was nice. It was a nice couple hours. And, you know, anymore, just taking the opportunity, you know, when somebody says, would you like to go to dinner, saying yes and mm-hmm. doing it, you know, is that part of the other reason that I love that Ernest Holmes quote, be in life, you know, be in life. And then life expresses through you. So that's what I think that's what I'm practicing now.
Yes. Well, and there again, you know, sometimes, you know, just being able to observe yourself, like, why am I so resistant to this? And, you know, sometimes we have very good reasons, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, like, especially if somebody says, hey, eat this, and you're like, no, I don't have the DNA for that or whatever it is. You know, sometimes you have to keep to those rigid rules or whatever because you know the result of it. But other times, you know, that's it. I can go, okay, so what's the resistance? Why are you resisting this so much? What's happening here? And when you can just kind of look at that, then just go with the flow. And then if you don't like it, you can go, yep, I don't like sitting at the bar, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just pushing through that, not, you know, not being stopped by that. Because, you know, for Pete's sake, who knows? You just don't know what might happen. You know, it could just be the best time ever. And this was a nice time. This was a night, ended up being a really nice night, even sitting at the bar. And what's really funny is she's shorter than I am and loves to sit at the bar. I'm thinking, what?
I know, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Well, or there again, just trying to see something from somebody else's point of view.
Yeah.
But I mean, exactly. I'm with you. I just kind of get into, you know, these ruts. In fact, just recently I said to some family, I said, hey, instead of doing presents this year for Christmas, let's, you know, go out to some really nice place for dinner. Hmm. And so then somebody else said, oh, great idea. Let's go to the such and such place. Well, that's where we always go. Oh. I mean, you know, it's like a very typical, hey, it's Saturday night. Let's just go out there. And so, you know, at first I'm like, okay, I don't want to just go, nope, that's not what I had in mind. But I just said, well, you know what? We could go there too. But I'm thinking, let's do something really special. Let's do something different. Let's, you know, let's make it really, let's just make it different.
Yeah, and not just dinner like, out
okay,
on it.
Yeah, maybe we could, and that's it. I'm not saying I won't go to that place, but to me, that's just like any Saturday night.
Yeah.
That's not Christmas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yep. I don't know. I don't know how that'll work out. And, you know, either it'll happen or it won't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there again, at least it gave me the opportunity to go, okay, what is the resistance here? And should you push back on this or not? Mm-hmm. You know? And like I said, I did push back, but we'll see if that works. And if it doesn't, because the other thing on situations like that I recognize so much, I have this attachment to some kind of an outcome. But is it the sure. right outcome? Like, for instance, isn't the real idea to go out and be together?
Mm-hmm.
So if 9 people want, you know, the Saturday night restaurant and I don't, mm-hmm. you know, is it being together? Or is it being in the place that I want to be?
Right.
You know,
of course. Yeah.
And I do lose sight of that sometimes. You know, yeah. I mean, I truly do. But on the other hand, that's one of the reasons I don't want to go to that place, because especially if there's a number of us, it's the way it's arranged. In fact, it's a hibachi place, you know, so they have kind of the, they're in the center and they're cooking the food, yeah, and you're in a big square. Well, mm-hmm, you can talk to only the person next to you, yep, on either side, and that's it.
Yep.
You know, it's, you're not really part of a group. And which is also the issue, it probably should be 4 or 5 or 6 of us rather than 20. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
maybe we need to do several different things, because, you know, I come from a large family, and
yes,
you know, but sometimes the hibachi thing, I like the food, but I feel like I've been alone, you know,
yeah,
almost like you. I could have gone up and sat at the bar and eaten alone, and it would have been pretty much the same thing. And
yeah,
that's not what I was thinking for the holiday, but
yeah.
We'll see. But there again, just observing, you know, how you feel about something. And there again, when the routine makes you feel comfortable and you feel too uncomfortable to break the routine, look at the resistance, but maybe you stick with it, you know? There's
yeah,
a reason. There's a reason you develop that habit. But just
yeah,
looking at it, I mean, that's one thing I have come to so much in my life. It's not about changing the thing or doing. It's about observing what is going on for you, observing mm-hmm, it, just understanding it, not judging it, just observing what's going on for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that can just be so incredibly enlightening and can lead to a different action. It can
right,
lead to another behavior.
Right. Well, and I think too, you know, letting it just pan out, you know, letting it just be what it is and being the observer of the whole thing, not just your, you know, myself or how I felt about it, but okay, you know,
mm-hmm,
just go along.
Just, mm-hmm,
just go along after, you know, but it, I mean, it was just really an interesting thing to just literally observe all these like stop signs, you know, that
right,
were coming
right,
up in my head. I mean,
you
it
know,
was just crazy.
Look at it. Yes.
It was crazy. But too, you know, I like to sit at a restaurant, and again, Saturday night, any restaurant's going to be busy, but where you can talk, where you can just sit and mm-hmm, and be comfortable. So sitting at a bar is not going to be my new favorite thing to do, but I lived.
Yes. And you
lived, and I had fabulous ravioli.
Yeah, and you saw, you know, you had a friend there, and you got
yeah,
to observe that and be in that. But yeah,
yeah,
you know, sometimes when I really am alone, I'm really into that. Like, I just want to be part of the milieu without mm-hmm, participating maybe with any particular person, but I just like to be part of the energy. So I certainly understand your friend saying that.
Oh, I do too.
You know?
Oh, I do too. I totally got it. And there have been times like, well, in fact, not that long ago when Jared was in town and we went to someplace and sat at the bar, and it was kind of a busy night. We were waiting to meet Susan, my sister-in-law, someplace else. And we sat at the bar and had an appetizer and just talked, and it was great. But
mm-hmm,
this place, this last Saturday night was so packed. You know, people were standing in the entryway waiting for tables.
Oh my gosh.
For 45 minutes, and it's freezing cold here. I mean,
yes,
it's like
yes,
this morning we went for a walk, it was 26 degrees.
Woo!
So you don't want to go stand outside, but that too, you know, kind of like feeling like you're in the way, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we were right by we're at the end of the bar where people were going into the dining area. So I don't know. I just felt a bit crowded.
Yes.
That was part of it.
Well, yeah.
And I'm going to stop talking about it.
Well, and with the loudness. But yeah, we got 2 minutes to wrap up this show.
Yep. Well, CA, I'm so glad you were here. It was fun talking to you, and I'm glad you had a nice break. I really, really am. So what do you have going on?
Well, hit the ground running, get back to work. which I, you know, yeah, which is going on. And
yep.
So I will be available on When to Listen. And there again, if you don't see me as available, please, you know, just request a scheduled call or a call back. As Kelly, I think, said at the beginning of the show, we get a text on our phone. So relatively, we find out pretty quickly that somebody is trying to get a hold of us. I mean, if the technology is working anyway. And so please don't be afraid to do that, because if I'm, you know, available, I will answer you as soon as I can. And I do love working with scheduled appointments, because then I can pull your chart up and see what's going on. But in any case,
you can get prepared.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, what's going on with this person? But in any case, yes, I will be back on When to Listen and hope to connect with a number of you. And so that's what I'm doing.
Good, good, good. Well, thank you everyone for being here. You can, as I said at the beginning, you can find me on When to Listen every day. But thank you for joining us today, CA and I today. You've been listening to Empowerment. We are here on One Two Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. I wish you all a very, very blessed week. And please stay tuned for Katie Weaver, followed by Christina LaFrance. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.